Amen. Well, great to see you all here today. We had a fantastic time at the camp last weekend. It was an awesome time. Hands up, you went to the camp, had a great time. Yeah, it was a few more than that, but I trust the others had a great time, even though they didn't put their hand up. We had an awesome time, and I understand you had a great time back here as well. So bless you, Gary and Kayleen, for running everything here. We had an awesome time on the camp. It was a really powerful time of fellowship, but also encountering God, and just an awesome time. We're talking about our theme for the year is Grow. As you know, the new name of the church is Grow Church. You might have noticed some changes to the sign. One of the signs in the process of being done. All the signs are in the process of being done. And maybe by next Sunday you should see some signs. In the next couple of weeks all the signs should all be done, which is exciting. But we're talking, our theme for the year is also Grow, about growing. And I want to keep talking about that. We've talked about different aspects of growing, about the need to grow, the desire for grow, the fact that we are all on a journey of growth. And today I want to talk about some of the stages of growth. Last week, for those who are at the camp, I spoke about the role of the Holy Spirit. I talked about the temptation of Christ and how the Spirit of God was there through that, and how the devil came and hit him in certain areas about who he was, about areas of need upon his life, about where his affection was, and about where his trust was, is where the enemy hit him. And I want to talk about areas of growth, because depending on where we're at in growth, we're going to find different challenges that will come our way in life. So I want to talk about that today. There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, and hands up if you were ever a child. Some of us forget that. You were all children. We were all children once. Sometimes we look down on, give kids a hard time. We were kids once, and some of us still are. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. And so it talks about growing up and growing. And we're talking about growing in the things of God, but also the maturity that we have as Christian believers about growing in those areas. And so that's all I want to talk about today, about putting aside childish things. Because when you're a child, you can do some pretty dumb things. And some of the children here, you've done some pretty dumb things. And I'm talking about the grown-up children as much as the little children here. And I think one of the dumbest things I ever did was when I was a child, we were down at Wilson's Prom, and used to go down there nearly every year for holidays. And my friend and I, we were just, I don't know, 14, 15, something like that, decided we were going to go fishing. And I'm not a great fisherman. I've probably caught about 10 fish in my whole life. Joe will get in about 5 minutes. But anyway, we went fishing. We had to go to this area. And to get to the area, you had to walk across the rock face. Now, there's one part where there's a ledge. And literally, the ledge would be no wider, deeper than my Bible. Not that way, this way. And so the only way to walk across the ledge to get to where we were going to fish is that your body is against the rock face and you're walking feet like this, inching. And it's about 50 metres down onto the rocks underneath. So it's very foolish, childish ways, and I'm inching along here. And my friend, he's just on this side of me, so he made me go first, even though it was his idea. Anyway, so I was going, and he's sort of inching beside me. He has his fishing rod hanging over him. Now, he turns around and looks, and as he turns around, his rod goes out, his line comes out, and his hook comes out, and I've got my hand here. And he goes and he actually hooks this part of the flesh in my hand. And so immediately I cry out, and he turns and goes, what? As he does that, the rod pulls this way, and he's pulling me back against the thing. And I've got my hands hooked, and I'm hanging here on this rock face, and I'm saying, crying out to God, you're going to have to save me here. Now, I don't know how somehow the hook just, it didn't actually tear, it sort of come off my finger, off that fleshy bit there, and we managed to get there, and we said, what a couple of idiots we are. What did we do that? Why are we here? And we have to get back again now. And so you do some pretty silly things when you're a child. You don't necessarily always thinking of the consequences. I want to admit, when I was staring down and I'm pulling down and I'm looking at the rocks down there, I was thinking instantly of consequences. I was immediately alert to the dangers. But when we're younger, as children, sometimes we don't always understand things and we make some dumb decisions. But I want to talk about the stages of growth that we go through. So can we turn to the book of 1 John chapter 2, and I want to read verses 1 to 17, from 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 to 17. I want you to ask yourself as this, well, where am I along the journey? Where am I along this journey? You may not have even started the journey. If you've never actually given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never said, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I receive what you did for on the cross for me personally, Lord. I ask you to forgive you for my sins, for what I've done. The Lord, and never actually done that. You've never actually received that. Then you may not have even begun the journey. And maybe today is your day to begin the journey along. But where are you along this? What stage are you at? It says in 1 John, so not the book of John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John and chapter 2. It says, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. And right through this whole letter is written to people that it's addressed as dear children. A couple of times it says dear friends, but basically dear children. It says, I write this to you that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it's a prayer that people will come to know Jesus Christ. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one which you've heard since the beginning. This old command is the message that you've heard. Yet I am writing a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. That was that word came today. Maybe the Lord's saying something today. If you heard that word, you have unforgiveness in your heart against somebody, then you should sit up and wake up, take notice, because God's got your number today. And he's saying you need to forgive, and he's created the opportunity. That word said there's that the doorway, the pathway of reconciliation is there. Don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. Maybe you can relate to that in some way. Maybe you think, well, I don't know where I'm going. If you don't know Jesus today, maybe you really don't know where you're going. And maybe there's some things that God wants to do in your heart. Now, this is the passage I really want to emphasize in verses down from 12 down to 17. It says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him as from the beginning. He's not talking to dads. He's talking to spiritual fathers. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, it goes through some stages of growth that I want to have a look at, and we're going to talk about these stages in just a moment. But there's another passage in Hebrews 5, 11 to 14, and that'll come up on the screen. I just want to lay this down as a little bit more background. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. It says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So it talks about here, it talks about those people that are little babies. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you've gone from being dead, and you are spiritually dead if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, never asked him into your life. You are spiritually dead. You give your life to Jesus Christ, you become born again, your spirit becomes alive in Christ, and you're like a little baby. And a little baby needs nourishment, all of those that are mums here, they'll know that a baby needs nourishment, it needs love, it needs nurture, it needs care. But a baby will grow up. A baby gets a little bit older. They become a child. They become a young man. They become an adult along the journey of life. And what the frustration of this passage is the writer, Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, scholars aren't quite sure. Many believe it's Paul. I personally believe it's Paul. It doesn't actually identify itself as who the writer was. But the frustration is with people that they haven't grown up. They're saying, for what you have been exposed to, for what you've seen and for what you've known and from what you've heard and from the length of time that you've known him and that you've known the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying, really, by now, you should actually be teaching other people. You should be actually reaching out to other people. You should be imparting to them. But the frustration is that you're still on baby food, still learning about, oh, am I really saved? Learning about salvation, learning about things that it says. It says anyone who lives on milk is not acquainted about righteousness. So you live a life that is not a righteous life. Compromise all sorts of things. Oh, it's only a little sin. It doesn't really matter. Well, that's how a child thinks. A child thinks if they do a little thing, it doesn't really matter. They take a little cookie out of there. It's just a little cookie. No one's even going to notice. Mummy's not going to even know. Try that in our cookie jar. You take a cookie out that says, aha, get your hands away from my cookie jar. Doesn't work in our house. But as a child, they'll think, oh, that's just nothing. I'm just taking a biscuit. And so I learned a skill as a child when it came to biscuits. If I wanted a couple of biscuits, I'd say to my mum, Mum, can I have 5 biscuits? She'd say, no, have 2. I go, thank you. And I get 2 biscuits. So I learned that. Children, don't listen to that. But we're very childish. We can be very childish even about the things of God. And we think little things don't matter. And a child thinks that. Taking a biscuit without asking is actually stealing. If you're told not to take the biscuit and you take one, that's stealing. As a child, you think, oh, that's not a big deal. It's just a cookie. Child doesn't realize that the little thing actually means a lot. That is actually stealing, and that actually is a big deal. But as a child, you don't think about that. You don't always think about the consequences. You don't always think about that kind of thing. And the frustration is, it says, we have to go over the same basic ground again because you're slow to learn. And there's some sort of a learning impairment. And some people do that. They have different things that struggle, make it harder for them to learn. Some people come from a difficult environment, which impacts on their ability and availability to learn. Some people in some countries at all, they don't even have a chance to get educated at all. And we're really blessed here. But for us as believers, it's saying we need to grow. And there's a frustration because you're slow to learn. You're living on milk. And it says that if you're still struggling about simple things and compromising and thinking, oh, it doesn't really matter, it's not a big sin, it's just a little sin, you're thinking like a child, you're not thinking like a mature Christian. Because a mature Christian, it says, is actually equated about righteousness, and we take things seriously, we take compromise seriously, we take holiness seriously, and to be grown up. But the frustration here about being slow to learn, and I pray as a church, as people that are in this church, that we're not people that are going to be slow to learn. We're not slow learners. We don't have a learning difficulty in that sense. But we are people who are going to grow in the things of God, and we're not going to be slow to learn and have a problem in that area. And so that's what the writer in Hebrews is saying. There's a frustration. You should be a home group leader by now. You should be leading by now. You should be serving. You should be doing something. You should be sharing your faith. You should be outreaching to you, but you're still coming back and still struggling. Oh, am I really saved? And those things. And so I pray as a church that we're all going to grow and grow well. Now, there's some stages of growth that are intimated here for us in verses 12 down to 14. It talks about children. People that are children. So there's a brand spanking new little baby. Someone who just gave their heart to the Lord. Well, that says they're not acquainted with righteousness. And so you've got to be sensitive. Someone is a new Christian, if they've still got sin in areas of their life, it's not for you to go telling them off or condemning them or whatever else, because they're a little baby, they don't know. A baby doesn't know. And so we've always got to be mindful, as I told you before, about the journey of growth. But when somebody has been around for a bit longer, and as they're growing more in the things of God, what they could get away with is a baby who nothing. They can no longer get away with. And that's what this is saying. It says, don't act like a baby anymore. You cannot be a baby. You need to grow in the things of God. And don't be a baby. So it's addressed to 3 categories of people. We know there's an infant, someone who just gave their heart to Christ. He doesn't really know anything. All they know is that God loves me. I need Jesus. I know I've done things in my life. I need forgiveness from sin. I don't understand it all, and I don't understand everything, but I know I need Jesus, a little baby. And then it's addressed to a child. It says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And in each of these categories, it addresses twice. And in verse into 13, it says, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. And then it goes, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. See, someone that is a Christian, is just a child in the faith, is someone who knows salvation. Is somebody who says, yep, I've got my ticket to heaven. I know that God loves me. And I know that I'm saved. And that qualifies me as a child in the things of God. Someone who knows that they are saved and that they've given their heart to Jesus. They know they've got the promise of eternal life. They know what will happen to them when the books are opened at the end of the age. They know where they're going. That's a child. And they've come into a relationship with the Father because of Jesus Christ. We're walled off because of our sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus has broken down the dividing wall of hostility and there's nothing now between us and God, and we can enjoy and be a part of his love and grace. And that's what a children is, someone who's come to a knowledge of salvation. And the saddest thing of all is where you see people that they've got Jesus in their life, they've become a Christian, and they want to stay there. What a tragedy that is. They don't want to actually grow in God. No, look, I'm saved. That's all I really want to know. That's all right, thanks very much, and I'll just come and I'll do what I've got to do, do the minimum that's required, I'll do this and that, and but I'm saved, that's all that really matters, and they don't want to grow. And I can just imagine the frustration, the writer of Hebrews, of people who just want to stay as a child. I know I'm saved, bang, that's it. And unfortunately, sadly, there are people who go like that, people that have been Christians for many, many years, maybe five decades as a Christian. And you engage in a conversation with them, think, man, you're still a little child in the things of God. As I look at your life and as you tell me where you're at, and I think, no, you still have never matured. You're still on baby food. And you're always just wanting to know that the love of God all the time. Well, we need to know the love of God. We need to know more than just the love of God in our lives. And so there's an awareness of the love of God for someone that's a child. They know that God loves me. I know that he loves me because Jesus came, that Jesus died on the cross for me. And I didn't deserve it, as we've been singing about, and there's awareness. And that's one stage. And the sad thing is, where people stay at that. And one of the ways you can identify is, well, where am I along the journey? Where do I stand in the journey? If you're someone that you really struggle with your own salvation, see, someone that is a child in the faith, every time they, whoops, I didn't go to the prayer meeting, oh no, maybe I'm not saved now. Or I've sinned, I've slipped up in some way, I've said something, oh, I shouldn't have said that. They immediately question their salvation. They immediately want assurance of salvation. Oh, am I still saved? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I thought something. Am I still saved? Does God still love me now? And always looking for affirmation, am I saved? Not really sure, not 100% sure. Always in the back of the mind questioning, oh, look, I don't know. When push comes to shove, if I am really saved. Well, that's the area that a child, a spiritual child, is going to get attacked in, about your salvation. And if you question that and you struggle with that, thinking, I'm not sure whether I'm really saved, maybe that's at the stage of growth that you're at. And you need to have that understanding that what Christ did on the cross, he sealed that for you with his blood. And we need an assurance, I am saved. I am saved, not because of me, I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. And so that we are assured of our salvation. And that's the area where a child will get challenged in. But then it talks about young men. And young men, young women in the faith that have a level of faith. They have an understanding. They know they're saved. They know that Jesus died for them. They know where they're going. There's that assurance that they have in their life. And it talks about those that are young men in the faith. It says they know the Word of God. They know the Word of God. It says they know the Word. It says in verse 13, I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. And verse 14, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. The Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And so if you want to get into the next stage of your Christian growth, is you've got to get the Word of God into your life. And if you come, and the only time that you ever get fed is when you come along to home group, or you come along on a Sunday service in the morning or evening, then you're probably not getting enough food for you to live. And you won't grow quickly. You won't grow the way that God wants you to grow. You won't grow perhaps very much at all if you don't get the Word of God in your life. And that's why we've got the Grow Daily. Every day we've got the reading guide that we're reading the Word of God. If you haven't got it, you lost it or whatever else, there's still some more in that rack in the back there. Get the Word of God and get it into your heart. Get the Word of God into your life. It's so important. It says young men, they know the Word of God, and they know basically that you know who you are in Christ. You don't have an identity crisis every time something happens. If something goes wrong, and I guarantee things go wrong, they will go wrong. Jesus promises us that. He said, in this world you will have many troubles, but take heart because I've overcome them all. Things will go wrong. We live in an evil world. We know that stuff happens in life. But if you're a young man in the faith, you're not going to be fazed by that. You're not questioning, saying, oh no, maybe God doesn't love me anymore. Oh God, you've deserted me. Why me? Why is this happening to me? But if you're a young man in the faith, you've got to that stage of maturity, you know, no, God is God and He's sovereign, and you don't question that. You know the enemy cannot intimidate you. You're not bound up in fear. And if you're in that area or you're growing into that area, yes, I know my salvation. Now I'm growing into a young man. Where's the enemy going to try to hit you? He will hit you in areas of fear. He'll hit you in fear in your finances, fear in relationships. He tries to attack you in those areas. You might know, yeah, I'm saved, but is God really for you? Or do you really have strength? Are you really strong in your life? And so if you find that you get tested with that, you struggle with fear or maybe whether God is, will I really survive this situation? Will I overcome? Maybe you're getting to that stage of growth, or maybe you're at that. But a young man in the faith says, no, I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ. I am a son or a daughter of the living God. And I'm not intimidated by the devil. I'm not afraid of the devil. In fact, we'll actually read chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the reason the Son of God appeared, this is verse 8 of chapter 3, was to destroy the devil's work. You know that. You know the victory that you have in Jesus Christ. But maybe if you struggle with that, you struggle with fear, you struggle with all sorts of things, maybe you're moving into that area and God wants you to encourage you in that. Know who you are in Christ. Know the authority that you have, that the devil cannot harm you, that he's got nothing to say to you. It says in chapter 5 of 1 John, it says in 1 John 5 verse 7, it says, many deceivers do it. It says in verse 18 of 1 John 5, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. What does it say? Amen. The evil one cannot harm him. Are you born of God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you? Yes. Amen. Well, it says here, the evil one cannot harm them. So someone who is a standing of a spiritual son or a daughter, you know the authority that you have in Christ. But the devil is under your feet. He doesn't have sway over your life. Who does he think he is? You are a son and a daughter of the living God. You have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is within you. You have the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And he better not mess with you or he's in trouble. And so we stand in authority. A young man knows that. They know the Word of God and they know who they are in Christ. And so a Christian begins to know what they have. A child knows what they have. What do I have? I have salvation. A young man or young woman, spiritually I'm talking about, they know who they are. One knows what they have, one knows who they are. Do you know who you are? Do you know the authority that you have? And maybe if you don't know that, you need to get into the Word of God, because it says a young man, a young woman of faith, in terms of spiritually, not talking about age, it says they know the Word of God. And you struggle with fear. You're intimidated by the devil. Oh, no, the devil's attacking me. Oh, no, the devil. Oh, you've got to learn who you are, and you'll only get that from the Word of God. That the devil, you've got nothing to fear from him. He's got nothing to say to you because you stand in the power of Christ. He comes to you. He's not messing with you. He's messing with Jesus because Jesus is within you. And so what have we got to be afraid of? But say if you're at that area where you're struggling with fear, then you need to get the Word of God and you need to read about who you are. Not just know what you have, I'm saved, but we need to know who we are in Christ. And then it talks about fathers. It says, I write to you fathers in verse 13. It says, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And in verse 14 it says, I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. Now, it's a little much the same. You think, well, hang on, it says that to children, does it, saying to fathers, I'm writing to you because you know him. You've known who he is, him from the beginning. It says that to children also, it says, I write to you children because you've known the Father. But there's a different kind of knowing, a different kind of knowing. One is knowing that God loves me, what God does has done for me, knowing God on that level. That God, I thank you for what you've done for me, and a little child will only be at that. But if we're going to grow, and what this is what God wants for all of us, to be spiritual fathers, to be spiritual mothers, we've got to take a step up, far more than just knowing that we're saved, knowing what we have, more than just knowing who we are in Jesus Christ, having the Word of God, but to go to another step again, and that says to know Him who was from the beginning. It's to know not just as God as the one who loved me and saved me, but to begin to understand God and all His awesomeness and how amazing He is. Now, we will never fully comprehend on this planet, as long as we're on this earth, how amazing God is. He is beyond our human comprehension. He is so awesome and amazing. But as you grow as a father, you have a deeper understanding of the nature and the character of who God is. See, one is about what we have, one is about who we are. But here, as a father, you really begin to understand who God is. Really begin to understand the heartbeat of God. What is important to God? Who is God? What is the nature? What is the character of God? And as you begin to walk in this area here, you never question God for what happens. You never question Him because you know Him too well. You know Him too well. You know His heart. If you know somebody very well, and something might happen, but you know their heart. You say, oh, look, I know whatever that was. I know their heart is good and their heart was right in it. Don't understand it, but I know their heart. When you know God, you never question God because you know who He is. You know that He is a good God. Fundamentally, to know that from He who was from the beginning, the one who's the God of destiny, the one that is the God of who brings us forth on a journey, the God who has an inheritance for us, but He is a good God. And we begin to have an understanding of who God is. But if some people, they struggle, they question saying, God, how could you do that to me? Or how could that happen? Or God, why have you left me? Why am I going through this? Or why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Well, maybe God is saying, okay, well, maybe you know a bit of who you are now. Maybe you know that the enemy's got nothing to say to you. But now I'm challenging you. I want to grow you into you really knowing God for who He is. So that when you face circumstances and situations, you surrender to God and say, God, I love you, I honor you, Lord, and I know whatever happens for this, Lord, you have my best interests at heart. And Lord, I don't understand maybe all of the things that happen, all of the things that are going on around me, Lord, in my life, but Lord, I know you. I know you and I know your heart, and I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? We know that, and we begin to know that. And so maybe you've gone into the Word of God, and maybe you know that the devil's got nothing to say to you, but maybe God is now challenging you and saying, okay, I want you to move in this area to be a spiritual mother, spiritual father, because the heart of the spiritual mother and spiritual father is once you know God, you know Him intimately, you know the heart of God, and then that heart even came out in those prophetic words, and that heart within you begins to turn your heart to other people. The heart of the fathers begins to be turned. The heart of the mothers begins to get turned to other people. And another test of where you are, if you are self-absorbed in your own struggles and problems and situations and your heart isn't really turned to other people, to where they are, to helping other people in their struggles, well, maybe God is saying, okay, well, maybe that's the area I really want you to come into. Because that's an indicator of where you're at. Where is your heart to God, but also to other people? Because as you come into that, as you walk in towards that, your heart will be turned towards other people. And so you know what you have when you're a child. You know who you are when you're a young man, young woman, spiritually. But as a father or mother, you know Him who was from the beginning. There's a knowing of God and His ways and His heart and just a deep intimacy with Him. And that's what God craves for every one of us. He doesn't want us to stay as little babies, because a little baby, a relationship with a baby and a parent is one of total dependence, and God wants us to keep that. He said, unless you come as a little child, well, you can't come to me. So unless we approach God with total humility, total dependence upon Him, then we cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says. Unless you come, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But God doesn't want us to relate with Him as a baby all of the time. Just imagine you have a child now, and your child's now 30. So the child's actually a man now, but the child, all they do is they come up to you and they burst, they want something. They want their dinner. They walk up to you and they burst into tears. What would you do to a child like that? Well, you'd probably you'd send them off to Pastor Bat for some intense counseling and deliverance and something. But some of us are like that to God. We've been around, and here we are. We really should be a lot further along the journey, but we treat God like that. What's our prayer life like? That's our prayer life. That's the sum of our prayer life. And look at your own prayer life. Is your prayer life like that? Is that the sum of your prayer life? If you're honest, do you only ever go over to God, or is it, God, I'm with you because I want to be with you. I come to you, Lord, because I want to come to you because I love you, Lord. I come to church not because something I probably should do. So, God, I want to be there with you. I want to worship you, Lord, because I love you for who you are. It's for who he is. It's not about me. When you love God, you love him for who he is. When you become a Christian, it's all about you and what he's done for you. And then here you're learning who I am and who I am in Christ. But here, it's not about you at all. It's only about him. It's only about him. Everything's about him. It's not about me. It's not about our life, what we want, what we have, what we don't have. It's not about that. It's all only about him. And that's the place that we're all encouraged to grow into. That's where God wants you to grow into that. Now, just very quickly, just for a few minutes, I want to look at maybe what are some of the other areas that as we look around that, there's some passages surrounding this. And I think there's three main areas that God wants us all to grow in. And it'll be evident to you and even to others where we are along the journey along those stages of growth. And so it talks, let's just read verses 3 to 6, because this is the one area I think he really wants to hit first of all, is the area of obedience to God. Because a little child is learning obedience. You tell a little baby, stop crying, it does not speak the language. It does not know what you're saying. It's going to cry. It doesn't matter. You give it the dummy, you might spit the dummy, might whatever. It does not know what you're saying to the baby. But as it gets older, you say, child, look, you can actually communicate with the child. There's actually a depth, a bit of understanding, and that's what God wants. So it says it's about the area of obedience. A little baby is not all that obedient. But as they get older, they learn to obey. And so when your children are older, you don't have to threaten them or whatever. Children learn obedience. They learn to obey. As parents, we teach our children. They don't run all over the place. We teach them about some boundaries. When they're little, okay, well, they're still learning. A little bit older, they're now 3, maybe they should start learning some responsibility. 4, 5, and they go and they mature emotionally as a child growing. But also, we need to, in the area of obedience, we need to grow up too. Little child doesn't think anything of pinching their cookie from the cookie jar. It's only a cookie. No one knows. No one really cares. What big deal, biscuit. But as an adult, you're saying, hang on, no, actually everything's important. If I cheat on my taxes or I do anything that is not in honesty and integrity, I'm actually not only just thinking I'm robbing and getting away with it, I'm actually affronting God and myself in the whole process. We think a little bit differently, our frame of reference. So that area of obedience is so important. We've come to know him if we obey his commands. So there's an obedience that comes with knowing him. The man who says, I don't know him, does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys God's word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And that's how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And that's what he wants us to grow in. And so we can make every excuse, oh, I'm tired. What do I do when I'm tired? Or whatever, oh, well, I go into this habit, I do this, I do that, or whatever, under pressure. Oh, it's just the stress, I've got to. Well, that's a little child speaking, and he's saying, no, you grow up, and you start being a young man, and then being a young woman in the faith, and then a father, a mother in the faith, that area of obedience, and being faithful. See, one of the things about, some it talks about being slow to learn. Some kids have trouble learning at school because they wag school. They don't go. The parents think they're at school and they're off down the shopping centre and doing whatever, going to a movie and doing whatever. Now, a lot of schools now are a lot more tighter these days, actually. We'll ring the parents and say, oh, your junior's not in school today. Is there a problem? But it's not every school is like that. And some people are like that. They struggle. They're slow to learn because they're not there hardly. They're not there in their own time with God, and they're not there even with the saints. They're not there when the opportunities to gather together, and therefore so that obedience is an issue, but more than that is the desire to grow. Luke 11:28 says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It's important that we obey the word of God. The other area that's framed in this is the area of relationships. And you can always tell where someone's at. How do they treat people? How do you relate to people? You can see where you are yourself in terms of your own relationships. It says, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light that hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness, doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. And just how are you in your relationships? How are you? Look, the crowd that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the big crowd, everybody's there, blessed is he, comes in the name of the Lord, and they put in the cloaks and everything else. Oh, wow, this is Jesus coming in. Not that long later, these are the ones who were baying for his blood. Crucify him, crucify him. Very, very fickle. Very fickle. One moment, yeah. Next minute, kill him. And people are like that in their relationships with people. They're, oh, nice and friendly, but the person lets them down, fails them in some way, doesn't quite meet the standard, doesn't quite hurts them or does something to them, and immediately crucify them. Very fickle in relationships. And that whole issue of forgiveness that God's put his thumb on today. And certain, are you a child where you struggle with that? You struggle with forgiving people? See, a spiritual child will struggle with forgiveness. It's a hard thing. Oh, it's so hard to forgive. For a child, it is hard. But when you mature and as you're growing in the things of God, you realize, hang on, God forgave me so much. And what I've done in my life, man, I can forgive that. And there's a maturity, you'll know, that whole area of relationships. So obedience and in relationships. But we can be a slow learner. That frustration is a slow learner. And it is frustrating that people are stumbling over forgiveness time and time and time again. You're still holding on to that. It happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 weeks ago. You're still holding on to that. You still cannot forgive. And it's a stumbling block. And so are we going to be a slow learner, or are we going to be wise in that area? 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love each of you has for each other is increasing. It's growing. And as you're growing in God, your relationships will grow. Your marriage will grow. Your marriage will grow. As you're growing in God, your marriage will grow. Your relationships with your children will grow. Your relationships with other people will be improving as you're growing in God. But if you're spiritually a child, then you hold on to grudges and you don't deal with situations. And so where are we? Let's grow. Let's grow up in God. And finally is the area of our focus, or really a purpose in our lives. It says, verse 15, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. And so there's a, where are we in our focus? Where is your focus in life? A child is all about entertainment and pleasure. When you're a kid, I loved being a kid. I used to just enjoy being a kid. I used to having basically no responsibility. As a kid, I was probably mature enough to know that one day I was going to have all that responsibility, because I see them, you know, parents working out bills and stuff, and think, gee, one day that's going to be me. But it's not yet. So, you know, had lots of fun and enjoyed being a kid. Everyone loves being a kid. Kids, children, enjoy being a child. It's fantastic. No responsibility. You're living pretty much for yourself as a child. You really are. I mean, you know, you may do some things, you help out here and there, but ultimately it's about you being entertained. You know, it's school holidays, kids. What are the words that parents hate after the first 5 minutes of holidays? I've got nothing to do. I'm bored. 5 minutes. Now, boys, I don't like that. I'm not there. But some children would say that after 5 minutes. What do we do? I'm bored. What do I do? And if we're spiritually a child, then it's all about us. Make me happy, somebody. Come and visit me. Smile. Do something. Do a party trick. Do something. Entertain me. Amuse me. Because it's all about me and me being happy and all about me. And that's how a child thinks. But as we grow up, we realize, well, that's actually not about me at all. In fact, it's all about him, and it's my heart towards others. It's not about what my entertainment. It's not about me in any way at all. And so where are we upon that? What about purpose in our life? Colossians 1:10, it says, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so that area of our purpose in life, where is your focus? How do you live your life? Are you living it like a spiritual child, because it's all about me and me? Or are you walking to a point where, no, it's actually about him, and it's about others. We've all got to grow, every one of us. Paul said, I can't stand here. Paul said, I can't say, well, here I am, I'm the Apostle Paul and I've made it. Paul said, I can't say that I've done that. So all of us are still growing and all of us are going through these stages of growth. But wherever you are, the challenge for every one of us, I've got to grow. If you're still being a baby, grow up. Struggle with obedience, struggle with faithfulness, struggle with commitment, struggle with areas of compromise. Grow up, stop being a baby. If you're a young man and you're learning the devil's trying to intimidate you, fear, say, no, I'm a child of God. But we're growing where it's not about us, it's all about him and about our heart turned to others. That's what God wants us to bring us. I want us to stand to our feet. We're going to pray this morning as we close this morning. Just before I pray this morning, just want to remind us, we've got a night service tonight. Our brother Onya is preaching tonight, so that's going to be an awesome time tonight. So come along, we're going to have an awesome night after the festival. Don't forget to go along to the festival. It's all free. It's going to be a great time. Reach out to other people at that festival. But I want to pray for us. I want you to look at your own life and say, well, yeah, Lord, yeah, maybe I'm being a bit of a child in some things. I didn't really realize how childish I was. Or maybe you've been challenged and you see, oh, look, I'm here. I'm sort of in between. I'm going here. But God wants to put his finger on every one of us. God's actually put his hand on the area of forgiveness today. A couple of ways he's spoken to us. And that's something that's in your heart. You need to grow up and say, Lord, forgive me for being a little baby. And Lord, I don't want to be holding on to stuff, Lord, because that's childish. I don't want to be a spiritual baby. But if you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you never asked Jesus into your heart, then I'd love for you to start the journey. Become born again. Become a new little baby that's precious in the kingdom of God, and that you'll learn and grow and come to know Jesus. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you do love every one of us. Lord, there's not a person here today that you do not love. There's not a person here today that you do not care for. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that out of the great love that you have for us, Lord, that we do have Jesus, Lord, that we do have Easter coming up, Lord, it's just a testimony of your great love for us. But Father, I pray for every person. Lord, if we look at our life and we say, yeah, look, I'm a child, really. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll be inspired and stirred by your Spirit, saying, no, I'm going to grow up. I'm not going to be a little child. I'm going to grow to be a man or woman of God. I'm going to be strong in the things of God. Father, if we're seeing that as we're growing in that, we're allowed fear and intimidation to come into our life, that we cut that off in Jesus' name. And Father, we begin to rise and grow in you, Father. And Lord, that we grow, that we have that revelation of who you are, Lord, that we'll know you, him who was from the beginning, with a deep personal intimacy, Father, in our hearts. So Father, I pray for each person that is here. Lord, for those that have struggled with forgiveness, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this day, Lord, even as your word has said, this day, today, Lord, to deal with that before you now, Lord, to deal with that. Lord, whether it involves speaking to another person, or Lord, if it just brings them bringing a heart right to you. Father, I pray that we're dealt with. Lord, where there's areas of compromise, Lord, and we just allow that and say, oh, it's just a cookie, means nothing. Father, we've sinned, Father, which is what it is. Father, help us to bring that to you and have that dealt with. Father, Lord, you're faithful to forgive us, Lord, if we confess it, Lord. And Lord, let us bring those things to you even now. But Father, I just thank you for your hand upon us. Lord, I pray for each person that's here. Lord, let them grow. Lord, let us all grow in you. Let none of us be satisfied where we are. Say, Lord, no, I want to grow and I'm going to grow. And let the word of God lie living within my heart. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you called all of us, Lord, not to remain as babies or as children, not even as just young men or women, spiritually, Lord, who overcome the enemy, Lord, know the word of God, but Father, you want us to be spiritual fathers and mothers. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you birth that desire in our heart, Lord, that we will grow in that, Lord, that we will grow in that, Lord, I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.